Philip witnessed him about having found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And that led me to go on a search of references to Jesus of Nazareth to see what we can see. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? So by looking at the various references to when that name's used, I think we can come to see what good did come out of Nazareth. But before we look at that, just a brief introduction about the one-to-one evangelism that's going on that we read about here. Andrew, first of all, he heard the call to follow Jesus, as you know. And what's the first thing Andrew did when he found Christ? He went to told his brother. Now, I don't know if any of you've got brothers or sisters, but it is quite difficult, isn't it, to witness to a sibling who doesn't know Christ. But it's very challenging for me. I've actually got a brother called Andrew. To think, how can you bring somebody that you, a relative, the message of Christ? But that's what Andrew did. He heard the call to follow Christ, and then he sought out, it says, his brother Simon. He had a mission. To seek out just means he spent some time looking for Simon Peter, and then once he found him, he brought him to Jesus. And we read after that witness of Andrew bringing Peter to Jesus. The very next day we read that Jesus decides to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, come, follow me. And Philip was from Bethsaida. He was from the same hometown as Andrew and Peter. So the new followers of Jesus were bearing witness of Jesus to others, who in turn became disciples and repeat the process. And isn't that a good method? That we bring someone to Christ and they bring someone to Christ. Imagine if that happened, eh? Your church would double and then quadruple, is that right? That's what happened. Having come to Christ, they bring someone to Christ, they bring someone to Christ, and so on. So it's an interesting way, the one-to-one evangelism that's found prior to this encounter with Nathanael. So Philip was sought out by Jesus. Again, that's an interesting way that it's actually the text. There's a debate about this. He found Philip. Well, I'll just say it's Jesus that found Philip. There's a debate about who found Philip. Was it Andrew or Jesus? But anyway, I'll go with Jesus found Philip. That means that there was some effort felt. He sought him out. Now, you know yourself, if you're seeking something, it means you're taking time. So Jesus actually took time to find Philip, perhaps to come out of his way, we don't know. That reminds us just that we, when we seek to find someone, might take us out of our way. And Jesus was willing to seek him out. And he just says, come, follow me. So Philip was sought out by Jesus. We're encouraged to take time as well to find someone for Christ. The tense is used here when Jesus calls Philip is, will you continually follow me? Just reminding us that discipleship is an ongoing lifestyle. It's not just a, let's go and follow Christ today and next week. Continually follow me, Philip, the rest of your life. That's what I'm calling you for. And what did Philip do? He followed him continually throughout his life. A lifelong commitment. That's what the tense means here, when that Jesus was calling Philip to this lifelong commitment. But the tense, the sort of force of the verb behind it is a command as well. is commanding Philip, follow me, continue to follow me. And this is a command that Jesus still puts out. So to me, it's not just a sort of suggestion, it's a command. You, tonight, have a lifestyle of continually following the Lord and commanding you to do this. And that's what Philip did. He followed Christ, as we know, for the rest of his life. Taking it might, Philip, like the early disciples, it might have even cost their lives. And we're reminded, it says, take up your cross daily and follow him. So, once Philip came to Christ, what happened? He became a seeker, just like I've been explaining. And he went and found this guy called Nathanael. And so, as I said earlier, this is how one-to-one evangelism was working and how the church grew. People kept finding other people for Christ because they had good news to share. And again, we're encouraged as disciples. I know it's not easy, but we're encouraged to have one-to-one evangelism. Now, we might not expect immediate results, like Philip and Nathanael, just to suddenly follow him. But praying over time for someone, we pray that as they hear God's word, they will take up this call, come and follow me. So it's just encouraging as we look at these just words of introduction, just to look for opportunities, in other words, to share our faith with others and find someone for Jesus. So it teaches a lot about personal evangelism, just these opening verses there as we approach Nathanael. Now, Nathanael, some of you might know, if you know the names of the 12 disciples, there's one called Bartholomew, if I can say that, Bartholomew. And some think Nathanael and Bartholomew are the same people. If you look at John 21, verse 22, Philip's, the list of names sort of tells us Philip and then Nathanael, who was from Galilee, be from Cana. So Philip and Nathanael are often linked together. And when Philip comes to see Nathanael after coming to Christ, he realized something important. He realized we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote. And so it seems as though Philip had some knowledge of the Old Testament, and he used that to try to witness to this Nathanael about Christ. And we're reminded, I haven't looked at it recently, but I used to use the Thomson Chain Reference Bible quite a lot in my early days of preaching. But I remember, I haven't checked this up, but I do remember, maybe it's in concordances as well, but in the Thomson's Chain Dictionary at the end, as you look towards the end of the Bible, there's a whole lot of helps. And one of them is prophecies fulfilled. And there's a list. And it's quite a long list. I remember it there in the Thomson's Chain. And that's what Philip speaks about, how Jesus was fulfilling these prophecies in the Old Testament. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus, when they were walking on the road to Emmaus, and interestingly enough, what the two on the road to Emmaus identify, Jesus of Nazareth, he says, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. So these two in the road to Emmaus call him Jesus of Nazareth as well. And they recognise him as a prophet. And you remember what Jesus does in Luke, I think it's Luke 24, verse 27, that Jesus says, do you not know the prophets? And he took them from, what does it say, the Psalms, the prophets. He took them through the Old Testament, in other words, to show them how they were fulfilled. A wee book at home, it's quite a wee helpful book, it's a very, very, very good wee book. I think it's called On the Road to Emmaus. And what this book does kind of speculates, in inverted commas, which scriptures Jesus opened from the Old Testament. It goes back, as you might imagine, to Genesis 3:15. You know, the seed of the woman, how the serpent would come and crush his heel, although he would bruise the head, the serpent's, how he would bruise Jesus' heel, the serpent's head would be crushed. And right through the Old Testament, there's a very famous prophecy, Deuteronomy 18:18, about you are the prophet, listen to him. And Jesus fulfills that. He is the prophet, listen to him. And right through the Old Testament, there's these prophecies, as you know. I think I mentioned one this morning, didn't I? About all the prophets. And this is what Philip went to the Old Testament and said, we've found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And these two in the road to Emmaus identifies this Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, they say, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word. So that's their use of Jesus of Nazareth later on in Luke's Gospel. So can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, the first thing that's good is that here we have someone who fulfills all these prophecies in the Old Testament. If anybody ever wants to do a series, you could make up quite a good series by going to the Old Testament. There's plenty helps that would help you do that. And look at all the prophets and how they were fulfilled in Jesus. It's an interesting study. And so what good came out of Nazareth? You could have answered, well, this chap actually fulfilled all these Old Testament prophecies I've been talking about. This Jesus of Nazareth. It's interesting that Philip uses that reference about Jesus of Nazareth, how he fulfilled the prophets. And that might have confused Nathanael a wee bit. Now, there is a prophecy in Matthew 2:23, and it says, when he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, and he would be called a Nazarene. Now, if you do a biblical study, and if you look at the Old Testament in detail, there is no specific reference to that prophecy exactly. But the theme of him coming out of Nazareth is there. But it's hard to find. And that's what puzzles, I think, Nathanael. And I think that alerts us to using God's word wisely as we speak to people. Nathanael was a bit confused because he knew his scriptures, I think. He was under the fig tree. In the Old Testament, that's just a figure of someone meditating, as you might know. When they went under the fig tree, it was a picture of them meditating. And I think Nathanael was meditating under that fig tree. And he would probably know his Old Testament. If you look through, I think there's that sense in these verses that Nathanael did have a knowledge of the Old Testament. And so he'd be puzzled. But there isn't a prophecy, is there, about this guy coming out of Nazareth? And so he was a bit confused. Also, I think what confused Nathanael was he was called the son of Joseph. That's what Philip called him. Now, Philip was just learning in his evangelism. And sometimes we learn. And calling him the son of Joseph might not have been the wisest of thing, because what was expected was a seed of the woman. What was expected was that he was born of a virgin. So calling him the son of Joseph was a bit maybe confusing to somebody that knew these prophecies. And so we learn from this, from Philip trying to witness, and he uses this example of son of Joseph and Jesus of Nazareth, and how that was fulfilled in Moses. And Nathanael's left a bit confused. And so we mustn't confuse people with God's word when we witness for them. And it's important to know our scriptures and present it. And then as we look further into this question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, yes, he fulfilled these prophecies of the Old Testament, and he fulfilled these prophecies. Nazareth, after all, was a very secluded place in the geography of the region, so that added to the confusion. Then the next reference to Jesus of Nazareth, one of the earliest references, is in Luke chapter 1 from verse 26. The announcement to Mary by Gabriel took place in Nazareth, interestingly enough. Something really important was happening at that time, the time of the year we're thinking about. And there's a wee quote, I've stolen a line, I think, from a carol. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy, and his name was Jesus, if I remember rightly. And that's what we're remembering at this time of year, and that's what happened in Luke chapter 1 there. And that announcement was made in Nazareth. But interesting enough, as you study that prophecy, as that announcement rather, and how the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, allowing her to conceive, it says, "He will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So the child to be born will be the Messiah, fulfilling the prophecy, a famous prophecy amongst not many, is that of, you'll know this, 2 Samuel 7, where it says, "I will raise up for your offspring after you. You shall come, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And all these aspects of that prophecy in Samuel were fulfilled in these words of Luke, that he was going to be a great name, he was going to have a Messiah throne, he was a divine sonship, he was the eternal kingdom. So the good that came out of Nazareth was the one who was promised, who fulfilled, as we've seen, the prophecies. But not only that, he was the Son of the Most High. You remember when they came to hunt for Jesus at the end of his life in the garden, wasn't it? And they came to ask him, came to arrest him. And Jesus says, "Well, who are you seeking?" What was the answer? "Jesus of Nazareth." And what did Jesus reply? "I am he." Now, as you know, that reply is referring back to the name of God. I am. I think in the original it's just "I am," if I remember rightly. I am. And that's why they fell backwards, because Christ was declaring, "I am. I am Yahweh." And so the Son of the Most High was "I am." He was Yahweh, the one that was promised at that birth, as I read there in earlier. In that prophecy of he'll be called the Son of the Most High. That Son of the Most High is the great I Am. But there's an interesting thing about the Son of Most High. There's an amazing thing about that thing. And I'll just draw that to your attention. Once we come to faith in him and demonstrate that by living out a life of love to others, we too are called the sons of the Most High. This is in Luke 6:35. "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be called sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful." So the Christian reward is to be understood in terms of communion with God, an opportunity to serve. So the one who is the Most High, the one who is the great I Am, who came out of Nazareth, says to us, "You now are the sons of the Most High." What good came out of Nazareth? Well, he adopts us, and we are now called the sons of Most High. Once we come to him, we are given that title, according to Luke 6. So that's what good came out of Nazareth. We are now the sons of the Most High. Let me jump now to Luke. I told you it was a kind of study about this Nazareth theme. And jumping to Luke 2, you know, about Jesus. Now, your children aren't quite 12 yet. But Jesus was just 12 years old. And you remember the story. He was at the temple and he was speaking. And people were looking, a 12-year-old, teaching them with such wisdom. And at the end of that account, it says, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. And you remember how Jesus used this wisdom? He taught his disciples. People were completely confused when he preached, because he spoke with authority, because he had that wisdom, and God's favour was upon him. And so another thing that came out of Nazareth was this wise Jesus, the wisdom that he used. So if you read through the parables, for example, it's a remarkable way of communicating, wasn't it, to the folk of his time, the truth of the gospel. They're just wonderful pictures, these parables. And he teaches that way, and the wisdom on answering at the drop of a hat. He came out with such wonderful answers that astounded them, didn't he? So what came out of Nazareth was this wisdom from a 12-year-old, it might have been before that, but from Scripture we know from 12-year-old, this boy that came out of Nazareth was a wise and filled with wisdom. And that's the good that came out of Nazareth. So continuing the study in Luke 4, we read this. Jesus came to Nazareth when he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And as he stood up to read, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. So there's another example of prophecies being fulfilled as he opened that scroll. And you know these verses, and he quotes Isaiah at 35 and 61. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, to set out at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to folk, and the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today the scriptures have been fulfilled in your hearing. So he used his wisdom by expounding scripture, and not only that, by saying they're fulfilled in me. So you see how what came out of Nazareth was this man who was able to use scripture, not only use it but show how he was fulfilling these prophecies and going about in that compassionate ministry that he had in reaching out to those folk in these different situations. Jesus saw then himself as coming with good news for troubled people. Despite that interesting background, we read that he was rejected actually in Nazareth. And just all that we know about Christ, and you've heard down through the years, that's something that we must never do, reject, like these people of Nazareth did, reject Jesus. So the very name Jesus, as we said, I think already this morning, is he will save his people from their sins. Remember when Pilate put this cross, the sign up on the cross, much to the upset of everybody, and he put up the sign. What did he put? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He put that on the cross, reminding us that Jesus of Nazareth became a curse for us. So as we think about that, and if we think about Peter's preaching in Acts, he went about doing good, says Peter, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we were witnesses of all he did. They put him to death, but God raised him and made him to appear to us, who has been chosen by God as witnesses. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. So the good that comes out of Nazareth is that this one would forgive people for their sins, because Pilate unknowingly was declaring that Jesus of Nazareth was there, the King of the Jews, and he brought this curse upon himself so that we wouldn't be cursed. So a good coming out of Nazareth. He fulfilled these prophecies. He brought the good news. He had this wisdom, and he gave us this forgiveness of sins that we read about. But then, as Peter goes on to preach elsewhere in Acts, Peter often mentions about Jesus of Nazareth, a man, he says, attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders, raised him from the dead. What good came out of Nazareth? The resurrection. Yes, he was nailed to that tree. The curse of God fell upon him. But then Jesus of Nazareth, Peter goes and calls him Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He was raised from the dead, he preaches there in Acts chapter 2. And then when Peter, remember that famous chorus, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Again, the resurrection's mentioned under that name, Jesus of Nazareth. So what good came out of Nazareth was the one who died for us rose from the dead and is alive today. He's one who can be encountered personally. He's living. I think I've told you before, I used to say the creed as I was brought up in the Episcopal Church. We said it, I think, every week, if I remember rightly, if not every second week. It was a long time ago. And one of the things in that creed says, and on the third day he rose again. How many times have I said that as a child growing up in that church? Until one day I realised he raised him from the dead. He's alive. That means I can meet him and encounter him. Isn't it funny how suddenly the light comes on and we're faced with that truth. A risen Saviour, Jesus of Nazareth, is risen indeed. In certain churches this Easter time, the call goes out, Jesus Christ is risen. And the congregation all respond, I think, he's risen indeed. And that's what came out of Nazareth, the good news. And as that sermon went on, Peter calls him the cornerstone. And he goes on to say, salvation is found only in him. There's no other name under earth that can provide salvation. So what good came out of Nazareth is the good news that only in Jesus there is salvation. What good came out of Nazareth? Only in Christ, who was crucified and brought the curse upon himself for our sins, but rose from the dead, only in his name, of Jesus of Nazareth, can we experience salvation. And another interesting thing was that when Saul was walking on that famous road to Damascus, suddenly, somebody appeared to him, and Peter and Saul was astounded. And Jesus, we read there that on the Damascus road, when Saul was so confused, saying, "Who are you? What was the reply?" "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." Reminding us that the risen Christ identifies with his people. Now, Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus per se, but he was persecuting those who bore the name of Jesus. And that's what Jesus says. "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." So Jesus identifies with us, and we're encouraged that we are his sheep and he is our good shepherd. You remember, there's one more incident I'll draw to your mind in this study tonight about what good came out of Nazareth. And it's a well-known story of Jesus as he was walking around, as he did, and as we read in the prophecies there, and that were fulfilled in him as he rolled up the scroll, healing the blind. And here he was in Jericho one day, and a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And he heard the crowd. He couldn't see, but there was a buzz around the crowd. So he said, what's happening? They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now, if he hadn't acted there and then, what would have happened? Nothing. There was that one opportunity that man who was blind had. Jesus of Christ is passing by. Oh, I must act now. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I must act now. People rebuked him. Be quiet. But he cried out of the more, Son of David, have mercy upon you. But that, I think that's like tonight. It's as though Jesus is passing by. And there's an urgency to call out to him. And not to be cleaned of, cured of our blindness per se, but cured of our spiritual blindness. An opportunity might pass. It was passing by. I'm sure you've heard sermons about that. But that is Jesus of Nazareth. Don't let Jesus of Nazareth, who fulfilled these prophecies, who bore the curse of the cross so that we would be forgiven, that rose from the dead, that was so wise in his deliverance, don't let him pass by. Now, as Nathanael was, Philip answered him and talking to him, what happened when he asked that question? Come and see. But there was loads of questions Nathanael had. A lot of debate could go on, as you know. But the best way is to say, well, come and see for yourself. He'll answer all your questions that you have. As you may, many of you know, there's a famous book called Who Moved the Stone by Frank Morrison. He had lots of questions, and he actually deliberately went out to disprove the resurrection of Jesus. You know the story, I'm sure. And at the end of the day, he became a Christian. And we can have all sorts of questions, but the simple answer is, well, come and see what Jesus can do for your life. And in Nathanael, it says, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. So, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, come and see for yourself. There's a mighty prophet in word and deed. He fulfilled the Davidic covenant. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He has brought us the good news. He rose from the dead. He provides forgiveness for our sins. But not only that, how does my life demonstrate that something good has come out of Nazareth? Do others see that I've been forgiven? Does my life reflect that I'm a son of the Most High? Remember, he's passing by, and people who need to call out to him now, now is the time of salvation. May God bless these few thoughts to us tonight. Shall we conclude our worship by singing to his praise in Psalm 116, verses 1 through